Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd on a Monday, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, will be happening in 1 hour from now. It is absolutely great to have you here. Tom Brady, give him the ball, don't give him the ball. I knew that would be a big topic the minute I saw it. Joy Taylor is joining me today. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year.
Why is that?
It's almost Halloween, Colin.
Oh, that's right. That is, what day is that?
That is, it's on Sunday. But I have big plans. I have 5 costumes.
5.
Jenny taps over here laughing at me. Yeah. Oh, it's my favorite holiday.
Well, everybody's got one. I'm going to go as a hardened journalist.
Sky Bannister.
Yes, I am. Well, good. That'll be fun. So let's start with this. Whenever we talk about great coaches and great organizations, we always just throw the Niners in there. You just lump them in there. That's a good organization. That's a good roster. That's a good coach. Can we stop doing that? Kyle Shanahan's record now is worse than Mike Singletary's. They're 1-10 at home in the last 2 years. Well, George Kittle is hurt. He's always hurt. Well, Jimmy Garoppolo's coming off an injury. He's always coming off an injury. Well, the secondary is beat up and not playing great. Yeah, that's who you are. The secondary's always beat up, and it hasn't been great in 4 years. They can't solve it. Even in their own division. Rams, better roster, better organization, fewer draft whiffs, and a better quarterback. Arizona, better quarterback, better momentum. They've hit on more free agent signings. Well, what about Seattle? At least they got Russell Wilson. San Francisco in their own division, organizationally, roster, they're 4 of 4. And not only do they look disorganized outside of the first and second maybe drives of the game, and they had a later one in the second half that was pretty slick, but they coach scared. I mean, it's funny, the Colts, Carson Wentz had a couple of, you know, ugly turnovers early, didn't deter them at all. They still coached him hard. They gave Carson Wentz opportunities. Listen, it's funny about this. Mike Vrabel and Frank Reich must have bad agents because they're really good coaches with a variety of different quarterbacks from Marcus Mariota to 100-year-old Philip Rivers. Frank Reich and Mike Vrabel just have winning season, winning season, winning season, and have winning records. Kyle Shanahan has a losing record. And it's all we talk about. Oh, let's just insert him into the good coaches. You got to give me some returns. I don't care where my stockbroker went to college. I don't want to hear about Harvard, Princeton, and Wharton Business School. I want to see returns. This team doesn't win. They don't win at home. Well, Shanahan, it's Garoppolo's not good enough. That's the only time Kyle Shanahan wins. That's with Garoppolo. He can't win without him. I don't want to hear about Garoppolo. You know, everybody makes fun of Bill O'Brien. Remember that guy? They always make fun of him. Do you know Bill O'Brien had a winning record in Houston, 27-21, before Deshaun Watson? He's winning games with Tom Savage and Brock Osweiler. You got to win games. There was every reason last night for Indianapolis to lay an egg. Think about this. They're a dome team. They played in the monsoon. They were on the road, West Coast, late night, big TV game. They had major injuries on their offense. They had ugly turnovers early, and yet they played a brilliant second half. They don't coach scared. They overcome injuries. Frank Reich and this organization rolled the dice on Carson Wentz. He has been terrific. Only one interception this year. It's the lowest among all starters. And I don't know what it is. This is not a shot at Kyle Shanahan, but he's a very rigid personality. And I watched that team last night. They're coached rigidly. They coach scared. Listen, if you're going to coach that way with Jimmy Garoppolo, play Trey Lance. What's the point? What is the point? It's like we said about Chicago. If you're going to coach conservatively with Andy Dalton, well, then just give Justin Fields reps. But there was every reason for the Colts to lay down last night. dome team in a monsoon, out west, TV game, underdog, key injuries, bad early turnovers, and they came out hyper-aggressive in the second half and stole that game. And organizationally, the Niners have had too many whiffs in the draft, haven't hit on all their free agents. We got to stop lumping them in with the great teams. Kyle Shanahan afterwards explained.
I got a whole team to worry about. I'm not just thinking about what the quarterback situation right now. I'm going to evaluate everything, see where our team's at, see what gives us the best chance to beat Chicago, and see what our options are.
Just got to keep him off the great coach, great organization, great roster. Enough. In division, in their own division, they are 4-4. Worst quarterback. You can make an argument now. Worst roster. 4-4. Lost the last 7 games at home. This is not an elite franchise. Not an elite roster. I want to talk about what I saw yesterday with Kansas City and Tennessee. A lot of people in the media, it's called safetyism. They say safe stuff. Always pick favorites. Always defend young quarterbacks struggling. They don't want any pushback. I saw this years ago with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl. Had a bunch of commercials. And I was considered outrageous for saying he's condescending. Not necessarily a good teammate. I'm hearing bad things. His family's squawking. There's open receivers. He won't hit them. And in the end, years later, it came out. Yeah, I was right. But for years and years, I took all this heat. It's the same with Mahomes. People are terrified in the media to get blowback on social media and Twitter. So they play it safe. Mahomes is great. Rodgers is great. That's easy. But the audience, and I can tell from the size of my audience, which is enormous, appreciates when you're willing to say stuff and you're going to get crap for it. And a couple of weeks ago, I said this on Mahomes. I'm not sure he's playing as good as Derek Carr right now. In his own division. Forget the league. He's not throwing the ball as well as Joe Burrow right now. He's making more mistakes than Justin Herbert right now. The media is terrified to criticize him because they'll get blowback. Folks, in the last 3 games, Patrick has more picks than touchdowns. His passer rating 75. He's completing 62% of his passes. In the NFL in 2021, that's a bad quarterback. And he's got a good O-line and a brilliant coach and great weapons. It's not a hot take. He's not playing well. He's got every advantage to play well, and he's playing poorly. Right now, he's tied with Zach Wilson with the most interceptions in football. He's got 17 turnovers. It's week 7. Okay? And by the way, he's a great kid. He understands it. But Lance Zierlein, whose dad coached in the NFL for years, is now a talk show host in Houston, and he's a scout, and he's one of the better scouts out there that's on the air. And he said it yesterday in a tweet. He said his meltdown right now for him is staggering. Taking care of the football and decision-making, those were the concerns out of college. And it's coming back to haunt him as a pro. It is not a criticism of Mahomes the human. He's a great kid. It's not an indictment on his character. And being a quarterback has never been a linear experience. I mean, Brady's literally got 3 careers. He's got the early Tom where the defense carried him. Good, not special. Okay, he's amazing in his prime Tom, the Randy Moss years. And now there's the old Tom. What the hell does he do? I don't understand. How's he still this good, Tom? It's like Brady's got 3. And by the way, in the process, in the middle of that, he had 10 years with 2 Super Bowls, lost them both. It's not a linear experience. You have highs and lows. You lose a receiver. You lose a left tackle. You lose a great coordinator. You replace him with a bad coordinator. But let's stop being terrified about this. Mahomes is not playing good football right now. Doesn't mean he's a bad kid. Doesn't mean he's not coachable. Doesn't mean he won't bounce back out of it. But it's at this point, I'm seeing the Aaron Rodgers thing where Aaron literally won a Super Bowl. And if you push back at all, it's a hot take. No, I mean, Aaron declined for 3 straight years. That's why I have defended drafting Jordan Love. I hated that draft. 2nd pick was a running back, should have been a wide receiver. I think they too often in the draft, Packers go after like developmental guys and offensive linemen. I didn't love that, but I got the Jordan Love thing. He had his 2nd injury, did Aaron. He was declining gradually, small, granular, but he was declining. The audience appreciates us being honest about this. Right now, Derek Carr is playing better football than Patrick Mahomes. Doesn't mean Derek Carr is better than Patrick Mahomes. But he's a turnover machine right now. Like bad, like Zach Wilson. He's bad. And got the coach, and the offensive line's fine. It's not top five, but it's good. And the receiver's great, and that guy's good, and the plays are smart, and he's missing on stuff. It's okay. Now, the good news is that Patrick is, like, incredibly easy to embrace. He's bright. He'll get it. He'll turn it around. Hell, he may turn it around next weekend. He talked about it after.
It's been kind of rainbows and flowers and awesome for these last few years, but whenever you want to build something substantial and you want to build something great, you're going to go through parts like this. And, I mean, people keep saying it's still early in the year. I mean, we can still go get whatever we want, but it's going to take us getting better every single day.
That's why he's fine, by the way. Yeah, there's a guy in Cleveland that would give you a cocky answer. No, he's not cocky. Totally gets it. Dad was a pro athlete. He'll be fine. But it's okay to acknowledge it. People will appreciate it. He's not playing great football right now. He's great talent. He's not playing great football. He'll get better. He'll snap out of it. But Greg Cosell told us a couple weeks ago, he wouldn't be the easiest guy to coach. So much of his talent is off script. It's not that easy. I mean, he's doing a lot of different things people can't. But when you watch him, you're watching the games and I'm watching. He's making some bad throws. It's not an indictment of him. You're watching it. He's loose with the football. His mechanics are just not quite right. It's okay. And by the way, his reads aren't very good. For the record, there's no indignity losing to Tennessee. We've seen that in the last couple of weeks. They've beaten Buffalo and the Chiefs. Both at home, there's no indignity here. It's okay, you can lose to Tennessee, probably a top six or seven team, but because we view them as boring and run first, nobody calls them a good team. But it is okay. Mahomes will get better, but not right now. He's not good right now. Not playing really, really well right now.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Dan Campbell, coach of Detroit, actually had a good day yesterday. A couple of fake punts, onside kick. They threw everything at the Rams and still lost. But what really struck me is there's been two times in sports. Kevin Garnett went for the T-Wolves to the Celtics and Matt Stafford from the Lions to the Rams. And this is why players fight for mobility. This is why players, they get about 7 years in their prime. They may play, even if they play for 15 years, 24 to about 31, those are your best years. And Matt Stafford and Kevin Garnett, I don't even remember the T-Wolves years from Kevin Garnett, like they disappeared into the ether. And watching Stafford, I'm like, am I going to forget the Lion years if he does this for a couple of years? I mean, he went from having no help to now Robert Woods is complaining, I'm not getting enough throws. Robert Woods would have been his best receiver in Detroit. Now he doesn't get enough throws. I mean, he's turned Cooper Kupp into Randy Moss. His passer rating is 117, which is better than Aaron Rodgers' career passer rating. And it just goes to show why athletes fight for mobility. The environment matters no matter how gifted you are. And I was thinking about this morning, Jared Goff now, all his flaws, which were covered up by the staff and the O-line and the roster, he's now 0-14 without McVay, 0-7 this year in Detroit. All the little flaws get amplified when the environment's bad. All the Matt Stafford flaws, and he doesn't have a lot of them, but you get amplified. It's the opposite when you have the right coach and the right O-line and the wide receivers. They should really create a separate wing of the Hall of Fame, the extenuating circumstances wing of the NFL. Listen, we know you don't qualify, but you played in Detroit or Cleveland for 8 years, 10 years. We're going to give you a pass. We know your numbers aren't there, but you get a gold jacket anyway. When you watch Matt Stafford, and he was loyal. This is why athletes want out of bad spots. There are just some bad owners. There are bad climates. There are, places that just they're not winning cultures. The Ford family forever in Detroit. But it feels like Kevin Garnett. I mean, 2-3 years with the Celtics, you just forget the T-Wolf years. You're like, no, Garnett's a Celtic. And that's how I feel for Matt Stafford. It's happening in front of our eyes that years ago, I would say things like, I'm not so sure he's less talented than Aaron Rodgers. He just has a horrible franchise. And you get a lot of pushback on that right now. And by the way, he had a game against Arizona when he didn't play well. Hasn't been great for every half and every quarter. Hasn't been great for every game. Right now, his passer rating with the Rams is higher than Aaron Rodgers' career passer rating. And this is why guys fight to go to the right coaches and the right teams and the right offensive lines.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Sometimes society moves in your direction, and sometimes it moves away from you. If you're a big, tough guy, society in the last 25 years is not moving in your direction. If you're quiet, a loner, not very social, you like to play on your computer, things are good for you for the rest of your life. You're going to own the world. It is a world where the Supreme Court and tech will overwhelmingly run this country. Right now, tech moves left, Supreme Court moves right, but that's going to control us the rest of our lives. And so society now benefits the quiet boy or girl, the less social boy or girl, the awkward at an early age boy or girl. They get on their computers, they become coders, they become engineers, and they change everything and become our bosses. Things are working like that, and I bring it up for Tom Brady. Right now he leads the NFL in touchdowns and passing yards. He's going to have to sit down with Giselle and the kids and say, listen, I'm going to play to 50. I'll get you another house. I'm just going to play to 50 years old. Because what's happening with Tom, two things have happened, and the game is really moving in Tom's direction. Number one, as the best pre-snap quarterback currently in the NFL, he's audibling in and out of stuff. He's playing chess. Everybody else is playing checkers. The league, more teams are playing younger quarterbacks early. Three of his last four wins, he's playing a rookie quarterback or a second-year quarterback. So he's going into games with a massive advantage over the quarterback he's playing against. A massive pre-snap, audible, experience advantage. And the league is just getting younger and younger and younger and younger at quarterback, so there's more and more mismatches for Tom. The second thing is the NFL has largely outlawed hitting Tom or his receivers. Tom is great at manipulating games as it is, but now he knows that. And so all the rules have moved into Tom's direction. And I've said this about Russell Westbrook and Dwight Howard. They're Hall of Fame players, but about 7 years ago, the league moved away from what they do. Dwight Howard was a center, and then we didn't need any. And Russell Westbrook was a great athlete, and really, we just need you to be able to shoot threes. Neither can do it. They're both going to be the Hall of Fame, but the game, the league, the analytics, the rules move against them. By the way, James Harden this year, the NBA changed a rule, and James Harden's having to pivot away from some of his tendencies because the NBA instituted a rule, and it really, really hurts James Harden, and it's getting talked about now in NBA circles. But the league is now, it's really moving toward Tom. Younger quarterbacks, they don't stand a chance. You can't hit Tom. You can't hit his receivers. I mean, yesterday Gronk didn't play. Antonio Brown didn't play. And it really didn't matter. I mean, it literally didn't matter. It had no effect on the game. Here's Tom Brady after the game in which he threw for his 600th touchdown.
I just think about all the guys that's sharing it with me. That's the reality. There's nothing about this sport that's you do by yourself. So it's the ultimate team sport. It challenges you physically, mentally, emotionally, every week, every day of practice. I'm just grateful to have amazing teammates, coaches. To be able to do it for as long as I have is a really incredible blessing in my life.
I know he's wearing the hat on backwards. He's just taunting me now. I'm going to talk to Tom after the show today, actually. I'm going to bring that up. I want to segue to Tom's former team, the New England Patriots. So you know how it is in college football. If you're a really good football team, and you know they have the college football playoff has four teams in it, and you're like seventh, and you need somebody to lose in the last couple weeks, and you also you need to win by blowout. You need style points, and so you're like seventh or eighth, and you're crossing your fingers that Ohio State loses or Clemson loses, and they probably won't. But you're trying to get style points. So if you have a chance to blow somebody out and score another touchdown, you're going to do it. And yesterday, it's not that New England beat the Jets. But leading by 30 points late, they were doing play-action passes and attacking the Jets. Now, we know Belichick doesn't like the Jets. That's an old cliche. We know that, right? But it felt different yesterday, as if he was trying to make a statement. And I actually think it was. Here were the two statements Bill was trying to make. Number one, he was telling the league, this is a have-have-nots league. Do not jump up. Do not bunch us in with the Jets. Do not bunch us in with the Dolphins. Do not bunch us in with the crappy teams in this league. We almost beat Dallas. We can play with New England. We are this close to being something. And why does that matter? Potential free agents next year. Coaches, do not lump us into the have-nots. So any chance they get to pour it on, they will. The second thing is, I think Belichick is selling his team on this. He's got a very, very young team, and he wants these guys to know, no, you can blow out people. And when he gets a chance this year to pour it on, Bill's going to pour it on. This is not the Brady Patriots, where he knew going into a season, you know, we're going to win 12 games. We got a better coach and a better quarterback. They took the foot off the gas constantly. I mean, how many Patriot games did you watch them start of the fourth, leading 27-13, and they're just running the ball, short Edelman passes. They want to eat the clock, get in a plane, get back to Foxborough. That's not this team. Bill is trying to sell this team on itself. And I got to tell you, if you look in the last couple of weeks, they went to Houston, didn't play well early. They were missing four offensive linemen, but they had a very good second half and won. Dallas outplayed the Cowboys for stretches, almost won. I thought they had that game won. Now they blow out the Jets. I think Belichick sending a message out there to free agents. We're not a have-not. We're this close. I think he's trying to sell his team. Bill was actually on WEEI in Boston this morning and was doing a little salesmanship to WEEI.
I mean, I really have a lot of respect for these guys. They come to work every day. We've improved, again, every day, really, really every week. Guys have had a couple, weeks where it's been, tough, but they've showed a lot of mental toughness and resiliency to keep showing up and working hard and getting better. And, I mean, that's what we really want as a coach, is to see your team work hard and improve.
Yeah, they're interesting. It's an interesting team. We've said this before. The longer a really good boss is at a company, incrementally, the better they would get. If I took over a great company, because I don't know what I'm doing, incrementally, they'd get worse, right? Like, you can fool people for a while. But if you start watching New England, that game they lost to Miami, they would win today. That game against Houston, they wouldn't have a bad first half. You can see them incrementally getting better. And Belichick, when he has a chance to step on the throat, is going to do it. Guys, we're legit. Get confidence. We're real, real close.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app. Where Colin was right.
Well, we liked when the Colts went out and were aggressive and got Carson Wentz. Everybody doubted it. All the naysayers have suddenly disappeared. 11 touchdowns, one pick. That's the fewest picks among starters. We said before, he's got talent, and he was good with Frank Reich. But the people that replaced Frank Reich didn't relate to him. You cannot give up on somebody that's 6'4 with a big arm, can run. He can be reckless. There are times he drives me nuts. But his last four games, his passer rating's over 100. Last night, he was so good in the second half, played under control. It's amazing. Y'all banged on the Colts for doing this. Where'd y'all go? Is there a power outage across the country? Because we said from the very beginning, this is the right move. You have to get an athletic quarterback in 2021. He was as good as any on the market, and he has been terrific. Their issues are not Carson Wentz. 11 touchdowns, one pick. He had a weird turnover last night, but it was a monsoon, so I'll give him a pass.
Where Colin was wrong.
My Blazing Five stinks. I was 2-3. I'm only going to bet on B's. So Burrow and the Bengals won for me, and Brady and the Buccaneers won for me. Everybody else stunk. So this point forward, only B's. I'm under 40%. I'm terrible this year. I got to figure it out. I don't even like tonight's Monday Night Football game, but I will have a pick Thursday.
Where Colin was right.
I said when Robert Saleh got picked to coach the Jets, I said the media is falling in love with the story and his energy and his handsomeness, There's no proof he can coach. None. And I don't like Zach Wilson as a prospect. Well, Zach's hurt, so my criticism will be mild. He's lost. But Robert Saleh, lose by 41 off a bye? They haven't scored a point in the first quarter? He was asked by a sideline reporter before the game, did you change anything up during the bye week? No, we didn't change anything. Just execution. No, it's not. It's plays and scheme. Nothing against Saleh, but there's no proof he was going to be good. And I said this. You're falling in love with his looks and his energy and his story, and they're all great. There is no proof he can coach. And I thought he was a little bit of a dubious hire for New York. I wanted somebody that had some history, you know, being a head coach somewhere. Saleh didn't.
Where Colin was wrong.
Sam Darnold was benched. Sam Darnold needed to be benched. And according to local reporters in Carolina, Charlotte, Deshaun Watson, they're going after him, and they should. You know, I watched Sam yesterday, and I've come to the conclusion the game sometimes is just too fast for him. He's got a slow delivery to begin with. That's always been sort of his thing. But, I mean, in four games, four TDs, seven picks, 56% completion percentage. Now, I know the offensive line isn't good. Either is Joe Burrow's. Either was Justin Herbert. I just think the game sometimes moves too fast for him. I don't think he was well coached at USC. He always feels like he's kind of playing football catch-up. Too many bad throws. By the way, I can love the kid and hate the quarterback. Right now, Sam, I'd bench him too. I'd go get Deshaun Watson too if I had to.
Where Colin was right.
We begged Ron Rivera of the Washington football team. Go get a quarterback. You've got a roster. Terry McLaurin. Defensive front, you got players, you got a running game. You got to get a quarterback. They didn't. They're 2-5. Taylor Heinicke, who is a backup, he's fun. He is a backup. They have now the second worst point differential in the NFL. Taylor Heinicke in the last three games has four picks and two touchdowns and a 59% completion percentage. He's fun. You can use him as a backup. He can have moments. You could put up a YouTube reel for Taylor Heinicke. It'd be fun. I mean, he's got a little athletic ability. But all offseason, Joey and I must have hit on this 20 times. What are you doing? You have Dak Prescott in the division. You got Aaron Rodgers. You got Russell Wilson. You got all these quarterbacks in the NFC. You got to do better than Taylor Heinicke. And they were passive, and they're paying for it.
Where Colin was wrong.
It's only three games, but I watched the Lakers in all three games. I don't know if defensively this can be an elite team. Their bench is old. Their starters are old. They have great size, but literally no quickness. Phoenix Friday ran up and down the court on them. At one point, it was a 35-point lead at the Staples Center. Trevor Ariza is coming back. He's 36 years old. Well, Kendrick Nunn is not an elite defender. You got AD, Dwight Howard fighting. This is a lot of egos, and Melo and Westbrook and Dwight Howard and LeBron. First of all, they don't have a lot of three-point shooters. That's problematic. You don't have to be great at that. You got to have some. They don't. But the other thing is their age and their bench, they are slow. That you cannot hide. Right now, 21st defensively in the NBA.
Where Colin was right.
I didn't like the Nick Sirianni coaching hire for the Philadelphia Eagles. I thought he was more of a position coach. I didn't even really think I would give the reins to him as an offensive coordinator. Philadelphia leads the NFL in penalties. A very dubious onside kick. The data told you they were going to be competitive yesterday, and their offensive and defensive lines were totally manhandled. Listen, I'm not saying it's easy, but this organization ran out Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson beat Belichick in a Super Bowl, and some would argue outcoached him. This organization ran out Chip Kelly. I got news for you. Chip Kelly had back-to-back winning years in his first two. I look at this as hiring somebody that you can control. That never works. It just doesn't work in any industry, including this one. Hire good people, give them power, give them leverage, give them say, and right now Philadelphia looks lost. I could blame Jalen Hurts for everything. But, you know, I don't know. I just don't know what he's working with at this point.
Where Colin was wrong.
The best roster in 20 years is out of the playoffs. The Braves beat the Dodgers. Listen, part of this with the Dodgers is they couldn't stay healthy. Kershaw got hurt. Max Muncy is hurt. Justin Turner is hurt. Max Scherzer had a dead arm and couldn't pitch in Game 6. Joe Kelly got hurt. Who in their right mind can lose like 5 and 6 key players? Nobody. But it should be noted, the Braves, little deeper, healthier, had injuries of their own, and the best baseball roster I think I've seen in about 20 years, and I'm no baseball savant, but the Dodgers were eliminated. Almost feels like they just spent themselves, all their pitching in the Giants series, and ran out of gas. But congrats to the Braves. They have not been to the World Series. This is off the top of my head. It's got to be late 90s, like 98 or 99. They have not been to the World Series in a long time. And it's a great baseball city. Every city's got a team they're devoted to. Atlanta's the Braves. They love their college football. The Hawks, Falcons, they love their Braves.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Bengals blew out. Joe Burrow and the Bengals blew out the Ravens. And, you know, we always talk, if you get drafted as a quarterback in the first 10 picks, overwhelmingly, you will inherit a bad offensive line. And offensive lines make your job much worse. But if you're really special, you got it, you got it. And Justin Herbert last year inherited an atrocious offensive line and set every record in the NFL for a rookie and also had the number one rating for any quarterback in the league under pressure. He overcame it. Joe Burrow last year, bad offensive line. Joe Burrow this year, average offensive line. It ain't great. 30 touchdowns and 13 picks in 17 games. Okay, the Bengals had not won a playoff game, have not in 30 years. That's what Joe Burrow inherited. He now is 17 games in. He's playing like a Pro Bowl quarterback. If you're truly great, you don't need everything to be special. That's the first thing. And secondly, you're going to elevate a lot of average around you. Now, both Herbert and Burrow, they got some things to work with. Let's be fair. Herbert had excellent wide receiving core. And Burrow has an excellent wide receiving core. So let's be fair here. But one of the things we've learned about quarterback is that Joe Burrow, what you're watching with Joe Burrow, is what a young star looks like. They elevate the good stuff to look great. Ja'Marr Chase is a kid, a very good wide receiver. Now he looks great. So Joe Burrow has taken good stuff, and Cincinnati's got some good stuff that makes it look great. And he's mostly, not all, but he's mostly hiding the bad stuff, which is, we don't know if Zach Taylor can coach. This offensive line's not top 15 in the NFL. Like, so this is what a star looks like. We always say, what about the offensive line with Tua? Well, he didn't help it any, because he's small and he's not very athletic. Well, what about Justin Fields? He looks overwhelmed. Burrow's isn't very good either. Herbert's was worse last year, statistically. So, you know, it's the old tractor trailer thing. If you go to last year's draft, Burrow and Herbert, this is what stars look like. Doesn't mean they don't throw ugly picks. Burrow's had a couple of regrettable throws. The game is really fast, but a great young quarterback. Almost all of them. Mac Jones is a total exception. He inherited a really good offensive line. That is an outlier. But this year's class, all the quarterbacks I've watched this year, the one guy that looks special to me, like really, really special, is Trevor Lawrence. And he's only got one win. Bad O-line? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. If you gave Mac Jones Trevor Lawrence's or Justin Fields' offensive line, he would be awful. Trevor Lawrence has a bad offensive line. He looks pretty good. So you can't use that excuse across the board. Burrow and Herbert, they don't have much to work with. Their first year in the league. And right now, I'd still argue, Burrow still isn't good. It's okay. It's better than last year. It's okay. Here's something to throw at you. Carson Palmer, friend of the show, was on the Dan Patrick Show this morning. I don't know if we have tape of it yet. But he was talking about USC looking for a coach. Now, I talked to the athletic director at USC this weekend. I call him about once every couple of weeks, just get an update on it. It's called journalism. And my feeling on USC, and I've said this, go pro. Go get a pro coach, not a college coach. USC, LA is different. Luke Fickell at Cincinnati is a wonderful guy. Six kids, Mr. Ohio. They interviewed him this week on Fox, and he was like, I don't like the headlines. I don't like the glamour. I don't like to be talked about. And I thought, okay, wrong fit. James Franklin would be good too. But I've talked about this before. There's three college football coaches. Mike Tomlin's name is now surfacing as a long shot for USC. So there's three college football programs that are what you call like urban universities in big cities. The Miami Hurricanes, UCLA, kind of. They're kind of, the stadium's out in Pasadena. But let's just stay with USC and Miami. Even when they've been great, they don't even feel like a college program. They're not pro, but they're not really college. They feel kind of like big city. If you go look at Miami and USC at their history, who's succeeded? Coaches that also worked in the NFL. John McKay, Pete Carroll, John Robinson, or you go to Miami, Dennis Erickson, Jimmy Johnson, Butch Davis, kind of guys that also fit in the NFL. If I'm USC, I've said I would go hire a pro coach. I would go hire Doug Peterson from the Philadelphia Eagles. I'd make a run at everybody. I'd make a run at Matt Rhule, Carolina. I'd offer him $10, $12 million a year. Mike Tomlin, of course I would offer it to him. And because I think Los Angeles is different. If you bring a college coach into Los Angeles, when Pete Carroll was here, there were no NFL teams. The market was wide. The Dodgers weren't nearly this good. The Lakers were good. The Clippers were a joke. So now the Lakers are still good. The Clippers are great. The Rams are in town. The Chargers are in town. Oh, LAFC is in town. Like, and by the way, the economy now, Los Angeles is the fifth biggest economy, or California is, in the world. It's a bunch of countries than California. It's a much bigger economy than Canada. Los Angeles' economy is a large part of that drives it. Translation. People got second homes. People got stuff to do. A lot of those boosters, they're not sticking around town if you're not fascinating. They're going to go to the pro games. They're going to go to their mountain homes, their lake homes. They're not going to stick around. This city right now is wildly distracted. There's a lot of money, a lot of stuff to do, a lot of projects, two NFL, Dodgers never been better, Clippers now good, soccer team in town. Forget the mountains and the beach, which have always been a distraction. Mike Tomlin cuts through. Mike Tomlin cuts through. Now, this is Carson Palmer talking. I don't have any insight, but I called the USC athletic director a month ago. And I said strongly, I said, I would go pro. And I made my argument. I said, I don't know who you're going to hire. It's none of my business. You hire who you want. But I think USC and Miami, how many times do the Miami Hurricanes got to roll the dice on a college guy? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's too big of a city. You get lost. You need a pro coach. Kids want to go there. Hurricanes 3 years, off to the NFL. That's 2021. Part of Saban's appeal, believe it or not, is he coached in the pros. He'll get you to the pros. He gets the pros.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Let's go to my buddy Mike Silver, Sports Illustrated, NFL Network, co-host of Pass It Down podcast with his daughter, Natalie. You know, it's interesting. You, Rogers, Cal guy, you're a Cal guy. Yeah, that was a very turbulent offseason. It was messy. I've always said I love Aaron when he's mad or when he's happy. I'm not into the Zen Aaron as much as you. He's a little irritating. But I will say this. Where are they? Where are he and Gutekunst at now? You tell me with your insight. Where are, because they're playing really well. They've won five straight.
I feel like the power struggle for now is over, and Aaron has won, and it's working, right? They went and got Randall Cobb.
Yep.
Fans laughed like, oh, wow, Aaron wants Randall Cobb back. He's made some pretty big catches for the Packers during this stretch. They had already signed Devondre Campbell, which made a difference, but during the season they've added Jalen Smith and Whitney Mercilus, and
yep.
They've added guys before, but not usually in competitive situations, not usually early, and it's more of a mentality. Like, maybe Jalen Smith won't end up being great, maybe Mercilus won't, but be aggressive, go after it.
Yeah.
The window's very short, and maybe this is the last dance, as Aaron and Devontae Adams suggested on social media before the season, or maybe this is the new state of affairs in Green Bay, and general manager Aaron Rodgers will stick around for a while. But if you're a Packer fan right now, you're like, cool, because I see his point. And when you can do things like what he did at the end of that 49er game,
yeah,
you know, it's just, yeah, give that guy a little bit more input and maybe a little bit more power.
By the way, you are one of the very few on the planet you're a little bit of a doubter on Arizona, just a little bit. Now, by the way, I like this because I think the media is too often concerned with hate mail, and you and I both kind of think it's funny. But what is a genuine, not to be a contrarian, but what is your concern about Arizona? Because I deep down, I think I have some questions too. Kingsbury in a big game against an Arians, I wonder, what worries you?
Well, first of all, I liked what you and Joy were discussing because my kids and I have a joke that the quintessential Thursday night game is like Jaguars at Texans. Like, wait, haven't they already played five times this year and all on Thursday? So, yeah, I'm pumped about that. But, yeah, I worry about the Cardinals. There's a lot of pressure on them, first of all, from ownership.
Yeah.
That Michael Bidwell viewed last season as a massive failure where the rest of us on the outside were kind of like, they made some progress. They're coming up. He was like, we blew that. Everyone's on notice. And general manager Steve Keim has been aggressive, taking risks. J.J. Watt's certainly a risk,
yep,
given the injuries. He went out and got Zach Ertz, which was a smart move. So I think there's a lot of – they're under pressure. And, you know, as franchise quarterbacks go, Kyler is so good this season, and he can do so many great things, but he's not as connected to his – organization and his teammates as the typical franchise quarterback. He blew off some of the offseason. There's talk that maybe he wants to play baseball again. He's more of a quiet guy who doesn't hang out with the teammates as much. He's not in the building as much. So you wonder if things start going poorly, could it downward spiral? But I don't want to be too much of a downer on Arizona. I mean, they have my attention. Look at what they've done. And Thursday will be a big, big moment for them and for America.
Rams, you have a soft spot for Goff, and you broke this story back in January. The Goff-McVay stuff got a little surly. But I compared it earlier today. I said it reminds me of KG from the Timberwolves to the Celtics. Literally 2 years in, I forgot where he played before Boston. It was like, and I watched Stafford yesterday, and I'm like, God, if he stays here for 2 years, Detroit will just disappear into the ether. Would you acknowledge it's been a little easier? I didn't think it was going to be this good this fast. Did you?
No, and that's a great way to compare it, you know, with KG, because the Rams worry me for this reason, and I'll concede that Stafford has been wonderful, and that he and Sean together have done, you know, what Sean envisioned. But they are the most star-heavy team in recent memory. They're like an NBA team. In other words, if Ray Allen had gone down before one of those playoff runs, or Paul Pierce, the Celtics would have been in real trouble. The Rams are going to be good as long as Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Aaron Donald, and Jalen Ramsey are healthy. If those guys stay healthy and keep doing what they're doing, they can probably carry that team very, very far. But if any one of those guys is not in the lineup at any given point, I don't like it. They have too many holes, and those four have been compensating for a lot of those holes. They have other good players, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of pressure on those four guys in particular.
Okay, so on the Dan Patrick Show today, my staff got it. Way to go, Dan. He had Carson Palmer on, the great Carson Palmer, USC grad, and they started talking about Mike Tomlin in USC. So here is Carson Palmer on Dan's show today. Good get. Here we go.
I've been as involved as they'll let me be. I think there's a lot of front runners right now. You've got a wild card like Mike Tomlin. That if Mike Tomlin wants out, you know, at the end of the day, there is not a direct, that's the guy everybody's pointing their fingers at.
Has and Mike USC, Tomlin hypothetically been discussed?
I'm sure he has. I think anybody is a potential candidate right now. And that's what's so great about the job, is it can lure an NFL guy in that's tired of their current situation and worried about, is Ben Roethlisberger gone? Is he done? Who are we going to draft? Does Mike Tomlin have to start over with a first-round young rookie quarterback? Everybody's on the table, being that job is so big and so coveted.
Silver, what do you make of that? What do you make of those rumors?
I mean, Dan gets USC grad Carson Palmer. You get Cal grad Mike Silver, and I am petrified that could possibly be true, because Mike Tomlin would dominate at USC. First of all, this is not like, you know how like Tennessee would have openings and you'd hear names where you're like, They're not going to get that guy. Like, Tennessee has this inflated sense of self-worth about their program where it's like, relax, you're not getting him. But SC could. You know, I think Carson's right. Everyone is on the table, theoretically. And Mike Tomlin, you know, I've been laughing for years and years at Steeler fans, you know, who will lash out and say, we got to get rid of this guy. Like, oh, he's lucky to have this job. And I'm like, do you understand how quickly Mike Tomlin would get a big job if he were on the market? And usually I mean NFL, but certainly a premier college job. I can't even imagine how good. And one reason, you know, yes, he'd recruit well, he'd be a great leader, but when when NFL coaches who are advanced defensively from a defensive schematic standpoint go to college, there's almost always an instant impact because college defenses are so bad. And yeah, you only get the players for 20 hours, wink, wink, nod, nod, and it's hard to be that complex. But Mike Tomlin runs his stuff in the Pac-12, you're going to see a lot of, you know, good quarterbacks and offenses not very able to score, at least for the first couple of years. So all of that said, terrible idea, USC. He's not for you. He's a horrible fit. I think you might want to think about rehiring Clay Helton, and that would be my recommendation.
Cal Grad's getting scared. You can sense the sweat on his brow.
I am shook.
Great seeing you, Mike, as always, buddy.
Thanks, you guys. I appreciate it.